Chris Williams is a Bundesliga reporter. He is also a producer of the Gegenpressing podcast, and he joins us on Writer's Block. Chris, thanks so much for joining us today. I'll ask you that. What was your reaction to the way the games were played and the logistics of it? And what was kind of the wider societal reaction to the fact that Germany was able to pull this off?
Yeah, Jens, good evening. It's a really interesting question. I think when the Bundesliga said it was going to come back, I think everybody across football, be it Europe or the world, thought it was an ambitious plan. And it wasn't universally loved at first by everybody, because the cases, although they're a lot lower in Germany than the rest of Europe and the rest of the world, they were still high in comparison to something that a situation that nobody wanted. And would it be a sensible thing to do? But the DFL, the Deutsche Football League, the German Football League, together with the German FA and the state governments and the federal government, came up with a plan that allowed it to come back. I think your everyday fan was very happy to see it back, but your ultras, the hardcore element, the supporters that stand behind the goal and jump up and down and sing and hold the flares, the ones that German football thrives on and sells its marketing all over the world, they weren't particularly happy, because it showed an over-reliance on money, and they don't think that's particularly healthy for the game. So it was pretty much split. Society-wise, German people who weren't interested in football didn't think it was a very good idea. It thought it was a useless use of resources, but it's allowed certain clubs to stay afloat. And I think the biggest club to stay afloat would be Schalke 04, based out in Gelsenkirchen, who were a very big club, third biggest club in Germany by members. They were on the brink of collapse, and this return to football has allowed them to continue on now.
Chris, I think North American leagues certainly were looking at the Bundesliga to get some data points that they might be able to use. One of the most interesting things that I saw from your work was that the injury numbers coming back from a long break were significantly high, and perhaps impacted the game far more than COVID 19 positive tests. Can you give our listeners just a sense of what you found regarding the injuries from return? Because obviously the training camps were not nearly as long and nearly as normalized as they would have been previously.
No, they wouldn't. I mean, German football clubs and their players started to return to training in single numbers around about the 6th of April, so it's quite early. Then they went into a quarantine situation where they trained in groups, but they weren't allowed to go out. And that gave them probably what you call a half a preseason. So when the games came back, there were a few players that were injured, weren't really up to match fitness. But obviously the allowance in the rules that the International Football Association Board, together with FIFA, allowed the five substitutes, which sort of allowed them to come over that. But yeah, probably took about two or three match days for us to get back into what I'd call the swing of the Bundesliga, the to and fro in the high energy press. But yeah, the first couple of weekends weren't overly fantastic for the quality of football and also for the speed of the game. And that's because, you're quite right, players had been off for 96, 97 days. And unlike a normal season, when you come back, there's really a lot to play for with 8 months in front of you. But these teams came back with 6, 7, 8 games to go, and were in not only a title race to begin with, a fight for European places, and of course relegation and promotion issues in the Bundesliga and the second Bundesliga. So there was a lot to come back for in this. I think many christened it a mini tournament in essence. So it's been dealt with well. I think the Premier League have seen a lot more injuries than the Bundesliga did, but of course their training before return was even shorter.
Chris, the other thing that I found fascinating about this is not only was the Bundesliga the first league to come back, but it also had to negotiate a TV rights deal out of the pandemic. And our understanding is that their sale of rights certainly didn't bring them the $5.1 billion U.S. that they got from the last one. But, according to a couple of published reports, it seems as if the number was not you know, not the 40% or 35% reduction that people thought it might be. It almost seems as if the value of prime sports properties has held through the pandemic, which I would think not just for other soccer leagues, but for every professional league around the world would certainly have to be heartening.
Yeah, it was, and there has been a drop-off, but I think that's not due to the coronavirus. There has been a drop-off, really, for a number of television rights, for football especially, across Europe and across the world. Champions League and Premier League is the only one that's bucked the trend, really. There has been a downward tendency for incomes from TV revenue. It's still exceptionally high, though. But, yeah, there was an expectation that it would drop significantly, and it hasn't really done that. So for the next batch of four-year rights, I'd expect once those are up for renegotiation and re-tender, it may go up slightly, so long as there isn't another outbreak or anything similar happens. But, yeah, I think sport, live sport, whether that be golf, motor racing, football, you know, the sports that you guys have in North America, in the States and in Canada, I think there will be a financial impact at the beginning. But if the world is to get back to normal, I think slowly the money in football will come back. But it's a conversation we need to have, really. In the Bundesliga chief, Christian Seifer, has talked potentially about wage caps. He's talked about how the high level of transfers is damaging the game, not just in Germany, but across the world. And there has to come a point where, is a player worth $200 million? Is he worth $100 million? And is football detached from reality? And I think this whole episode has brought that question straight into the fore.
Chris, we got just a minute left, but we'd be remiss if we didn't ask you about Alphonso Davies, who, I mean, really has emerged in the last calendar year to become one of the best backs in the world. How does he look from your perspective?
No, he's a phenomenal player, absolutely phenomenal player. He can play, he's playing as a left wing back for Bayern, but he can play certainly further up the pitch as a left winger or even a right winger if needed. But his speed, his ability on the ball, his forward thinking, he's two or three phases ahead of people in his peer group for his age. When he's looking on the pitch, he can see moves in front of him before they've happened. His link-up play is sensational. He's one of the most exciting players that I've watched in the Bundesliga for a number of years, and all Canadians should be exceptionally proud of him flying the flag in Europe.